Good afternoon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Maundy Thursday, where teach us your ways. Amen. So, Thursday of Holy Week is called Maundy Thursday, if you don't know. That's unfamiliar. It's M-A-U-N-D-A-Y. And the word Maundy is just the word commandment. And it comes from the John 12 or John 13 passage. That's just a little bit after Father Bob had read. And it says in verse 31, "And when therefore he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer, and you shall seek me. As I said to the Jews, where I am, though you cannot come, now say to you also, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.'" Then Peter begins to ask him some questions. "Lord, where are you going? And if you're going, I'm going to come." And Jesus says, "Well, you're actually going to deny me three times." And so chapter 14, of course, isn't a chapter division. It's just continuation of the conversation. And Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the truth. And I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. It'll be enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." In verse 15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may be with you forever. That is the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And he will not leave, and I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. But you will behold me, though the world will not behold me. You will behold me because I live, you will live also. And in that day, Pentecost, you shall know." This is one of the most important verses in all the Bible. "That I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you." Over in chapter 15, he said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vines, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And then down in verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I've loved you." So he repeats the commandment on Maundy Thursday. Tonight we'll look at some more of this in our Maundy Thursday service. But what Jesus told them was the new commandment. It's the most impossible commandment in the world to keep. All the commandments of God expose our inability to keep them. That's the whole point. The things that are in the commandments are true, and they represent a life, a kind of life, a way of life that's real. But the idea that you can keep the commandments is not true. And the commandments were there to tell you this is what life is supposed to look like, but you can't do it. And there's only one who can, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And so Jesus modeled that in his own humanity. Jesus was the most childlike person who ever lived. Jesus was chose to be the weakest person spiritually who ever lived. What I mean by that is he never did anything on his own. He said over and over again in the Gospel of John, I do nothing on my own initiative. It says in Philippians that he emptied himself. So Jesus did nothing on his own initiative. He didn't even raise himself from the dead. The scripture says the Father raised him from the dead. And Jesus, to live as Adam was supposed to live, Jesus came as second Adam. And humanity was created to contain and experience and give display of the life of God. But that can only happen as we live in communion, in union, in absolute utter dependence, childlike faith. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was man's mad experiment to try to be like God without being dependent on God. To try to, quote, keep the commandments, to be good without God. We were wired and created in such a way that you cannot be good apart from utter dependence on him. You can't be a good Christian no matter how hard you try, no matter how long you pray, no matter how much you fast, no matter how much time you spend in the Bible, if you do not understand that apart from Christ, you can't do anything. All those things that we do, pray and fast, spend time in the Word, nourish our growing, renewed mind that it's Christ himself who lives in me. And so as the Son of Man, Jesus was saying to them, look, I'm in the Father's in me. We have this mutual indwelling apart. And so, and I do nothing on my own initiative. I'm totally and completely yielded. I've chosen to never do anything on my own. That's what I mean by being the weakest person. He wouldn't even raise himself from the dead. If the Father hadn't done it, he'd still be dead. Because he was trying to show us, as second Adam, what a spirit-filled man or woman's supposed to look like. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus was filled, the Holy Spirit came on him. The Father, Jesus as God, didn't need the Holy Spirit to come on him, but as the incarnate Son of Man, he did. Because once again, he was showing us as second Adam, how mankind was meant to live in union with him. So Jesus goes on and explains. He says, look, on that day, the Holy Spirit's been with you, but on that day, Pentecost, he'll be in you. And then you're going to come to discover on that day that I'm in the Father and I'm in you and you're in me. And then you get to John 15. He just talks about this whole thing, abide in me and I in you. I'm the vine, you're the branches. No matter how much a branch tries, it cannot produce fruit. That's what a lot of Christians do. That's what a lot of Christian ministers and people in ministry try to do and wear themselves out and compare their ministry to other people's and assume that they're failures because it's not as big, it's not as whatever. And so they live under guilt and condemnation and all the nonsense. A branch is created to receive and display the life of the vine. You're not a branch attached to the vine, you're part of the vine called branch. Now, this is all what Jesus taught on Maundy Thursday. This was like the last Bible study before his crucifixion. This is the first time he goes in depth and tells them about this is what Christianity is going to be like. And it's going to be a total change of identity and a total change of living. Because you see, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm going to be the life. You've known me living with you. You're now going to know me living in you. And the way of life that I live, I'm going to live through you because I'm the way, I'm the truth about everything, and I'm the life. And so when he throws this in chapter 15. He's saying, as a branch, how do I love one another? Christians are goobers sometimes. Haven't you noticed that? I mean, it's one thing for lost people to act like lost people, but saved people do some of the goofiest things and say the worst stuff and do all the things that they do. But we'll see tonight that when Jesus, he demonstrates what it looks like in John 13 to love one another. And it included Judas and Peter, who's going to deny him three times. And all the other disciples who are going to leave and flee at the crucifixion. Jesus didn't love the ones he liked. He liked the ones he loved. He didn't like everything about what they did. But I hear Christians say all the time, well, I love them, I just don't like them very much. Give me a break. Show me that in the Bible. You may not like what they do. That's sort of a funny, phony kind of a love. Well, I love you, but I don't like you. Well, you don't really love them. You're just saying it because you think you're supposed to. Well, how do I? Apart from him, you can't. But the good news is he would never give you a commandment that's so impossible if it weren't him possible. It's not about your ability, it's about his. And so nothing that he asks of you does he feel is unreasonable. Because every commandment he places on you is a promise to you that he will do it through you. Now here's the good news and the bad news. The good news is you can do all things in Christ, including loving people who your flesh may not, whatever. The bad news is you don't have another excuse because you're in Christ. When Jesus washed their feet, which was his demonstration of that love, it says that he, knowing that the Father had given everything into his hands, he had all authority, everything in the world belonged to him. He had all the sufficiency and adequacy of the Father. He knew he'd come from God. He knew he was going back to God, the Father. But Jesus, knowing who he was, got down on his hands and knees and loved those who were about to betray him and deny him. That's normal Christianity. But we've settled for abnormal for so long that we've lost sight of what normal actually is. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.